people who love them.
Hello, this is The Thing About Cars. Thank you for joining us. We are recording, as always, in Strongbox West in beautiful Atlanta. It's a clear and sunny day outside. The onset of fall is upon us. We really wish you could see how beautiful it is over here. At the table, we have
Ronnie,
Becca,
Ben,
and I'm Mickey. We have two things on the agenda for today that we're going to talk about. So this may be a short episode, but let's just jump right into it. Car deals. What's that all about?
So we're coming into the end of the year, ladies and gentlemen. October is the indicator, and I saved this for late October because November is kind of the definite. All right, new car season's coming out. New models are coming out. You can wheel and deal all you want on 2018 yes. Model cars. My sense of time is impeccable. 2019 models are coming out, and so they need to make 2018 models disappear. So here's a few tips for you to figure out how you can get the best deal out of your new car. If you are one of those people that needs a car that's brand spanking new. If you've listened to previous episodes, you know that I will always advise that you get a car that is a minimum of 2 years old.
Yep.
I recommend 3 to 5 on average to maximize the depreciation of the vehicle, because as soon as you buy a brand new car, it loses somewhere around, I don't know, 10 to 20% of its value.
Just by virtue of driving it off the lot.
Exactly.
Or titling it. Even if you tow it, the title alone, yes.
Yeah. Right. So that's not for you people that are smart and savvy with your money. This is for you people that have a slight neurotic tick about having a car that was once owned by someone else and then dreaming up fantasies that they were some sort of murderer or pervert or whatever it might be. I'm not judging you. I don't know. You don't know what people do in cars before you purchase them.
I've made that point before.
I try not to think about it. I just want to enjoy the car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, right. Apparently the previous owner enjoyed it just as much at some level. So if you want to buy that new car, the two things that you really need to look at is the desirability of the vehicle. If it is a car that is not typically wanted for one reason or another, and you can overlook whatever detail it is about that specific car.
DOD.
DOD is one of them, but I'm talking more about color combinations or missing amenities. Say there's a car that doesn't have GPS on it, and most people would love GPS on that vehicle. That typically is your luxury brand vehicles, your BMWs, Mercedes, Lexus, etc. They feel almost slighted if their luxury vehicle doesn't have GPS. So if you take a model that doesn't have a 2018 model that doesn't have GPS but has everything else that you want, and it's been on the lot for more than 30 days, that's a magic number. If it's beyond 30 days, they will do whatever they can to get rid of that car. And again, to make room for 2019 models.
But also there is, depending on the fiscal year, but a lot of them, it's a 1-1 issue. They have to pay taxes on the property that they own, and vehicles are one of those properties. So that's another reason for deals, especially as you get closer to the new year. They don't want to pay taxes on those cars.
Yep, they want to dodge all of that. There was another point that usually happens for sales purposes. Oh, if you buy at the end of the month, for some weird reason, and I've tried to talk a lot of dealerships out of doing this, they try to close as many deals at the end of the month as they can just to make their numbers look good for their year over year.
Mm-hmm.
Because for publicly traded companies, a lot of these dealerships are owned by big conglomerations. Sonic Automotive is one. AutoNation is another. You may have heard of such dealer entities. You may not know what they are. They are just big corporations that buy up dealerships so that they can just streamline them as cash cows. And that's what they turn it into. They make some form of uniformity throughout all their dealerships. They brand it their way, and they try to turn it into a McDonald's or Burger King drive-thru where you just show up, you have the same experience irrespective of where you go in the country. They try to fix their prices as much as they can. But more often than not, they are a publicly traded company. So if they are not showing their investors that they are making gains year over year, then they start losing investors, they start losing shares, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
So they will always have a huge push at the end of the month to get rid of their cars. So end of November, that is premium for buying a new vehicle if you need a brand new vehicle or if you want a 2018 model.
I will soon be in the market, I think. Except I don't want a 2018. I kind of want an older...
Wait.
What?
Why?
Why?
Yeah. Are you keeping the Mazda?
I might keep the Mazda. I'm not sure. But, you know, the reality of that particular car is it's got 300-something thousand miles on it, and it's starting to make more creaking and other annoying noises whenever I hit a bump.
You're going to start making creaking and annoying noises as you get older, too?
I'm already making...
Just put some new bushings in it.
No, there's something under the dashboard that makes a weird noise whenever I hit a pothole.
Duct tape.
So, yes, yeah. you went one way and I went the other.
Right. So I mean, you know, it's just an older car. I wouldn't mind something that's a little bit younger. Even if it's the same year model car with less mileage on it, I would happily do that.
Maybe we need to take his Mazda out and find out what's making the noise under the dash.
Sure.
Plus, it needs a new bumper because I never fixed it from the old accident back in April.
Okay.
Because, you know, the insurance companies are all assholes.
Easy peasy.
Am I allowed to say that on the air?
I've been trying to keep it clean, but, you know, this one over here, Ronnie's been letting stuff slip by.
Well, Double C Becca is good at letting a good F-bomb every once in a while. Anyway, I love this Mazda. It's just easily one of the top two favorite cars I've ever driven, the other one being...
Volvo.
A Honda Prelude.
I thought you were going to go for your Volvo.
No, the Volvo was a different kind of driving. It was its own kind of fun, but I wouldn't put it in my favorites category. So, I mean, it was rear-wheel drive, and it was a nice sedan, and I happen to like rear-wheel drive sedans, so...
I love rear-wheel drive, yes.
Yeah, but... you know, so I don't know. There may be a used car in my future, but I was remembering something that I think I shared on our behind-the-scenes group about somebody bought Blue Book and J.D. Power bought NADA, the NADA guides to used car values.
Yeah.
And so in this country, the numbers that you see on Kelley Blue Book or the NADA guides are corporate-owned numbers that are artificially inflated, that if you go overseas to buy the same cars, they're less.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've never heard anybody call it NADA before.
What's it called?
NADA.
NADA, fine.
I'm not saying it's inaccurate or anything. I'm just, first time I've heard that.
Yeah, well, you may be right. So NADA, the NADA guides. J.D. Power owns them. And I think it's Cox or Auto Trader who bought.
Auto Trader, I do believe. Yeah.
And Auto Trader is owned by Cox. So,
and that sounds about right, just because of what I did to sell the Edge, a process I went through. So
there's this beautiful video that I had posted on the TTAC board, which is our behind-the-scenes board for our own internal communications. And this guy does an interesting sort of miniature expose on how these numbers are artificially inflated specifically for the American car market, and we keep buying into their artificially inflated system. And he's got some good advice. So we'll share that video when this particular episode goes to publish. We will share that gentleman's video on our Facebook page or on our website, and hopefully have some more discussions about that because corporate I have this knee-jerk reaction to everybody wholeheartedly buying into corporate culture, and I think corporate culture does more harm than good.
Agreed. Yeah. Some aspects.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we're no longer talking about cars if we really delve into corporate culture, but I think the notion of asking people to work 5 days a week in order to pay for the other two is not living, right?
But
that's a whole nother discussion for another podcast. The last agenda item we have for today's episode is something called Becca's Shocking Confession.
Dun dun dun.
Becca, please fill us in.
I had mentioned earlier that I was at my friend's shop getting new tires for the Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have a tendency to do is go up. I mean, I enjoy hanging out with all of them up there anyways, but, you know, talk about things, especially with the Jeep. I don't necessarily know what I want at this point. It's a new experience for me. So I know about tires. I just don't know about tires on a Jeep 4x4. So, you know, going up, hanging out, talking about the various things. So the day came where my tires had arrived. I was going back up there to have the tires put on because having that equipment at home is too expensive, apparently.
Yes.
There was a car that they were working on, and it's almost shameful for me to say. I mean, I knew what it was right away, but I found it strangely intriguing, and it kind of breaks all of my rules. And it was the BMW i8. Uh-huh. Now, they lost me when they said electric.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of lost me. They dispelled some of the mystique there for a moment. But I typically like more rounded cars as opposed to sharp angles. I'm not big on the imports, all of this. And there was something very interesting about this car. And I don't know, maybe I'm just now kind of realizing this. You know the car I'm talking about. Could you almost think it almost looks like a DeLorean? Think about it for slightly, like the angle of the nose, not the back.
Yeah, the front, I mean, it has that slope effect and it has an elongated nose because of the windshield effect.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure it out because there have been maybe two imports that have ever really had my focus, one of them being the DeLorean, another one was one of the Lotus cars. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I have no idea why this thing reeled me over.
I'm looking at a picture of the i8 right now. In fact, I'm looking at several.
I'm walking up.
And my first thought is not DeLorean. My first thought is athletic shoe. Right?
I see in that picture.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't thought of that, but now that you mention it.
Yeah.
But see, look at that picture, and do you see why I'm kind of leaning towards what I said? It's the angle of
you
where
sure
the
it's not just
at.
The doors?
The no, because doors? The doors weren't even up.
Mm.
And I got into an argument about the name of the doors with one of the guys there. But it just, I don't know. I'm not saying spitting image. I'm just talking about angles.
Yeah, kind of. I can kind of.
I mean, like, the shared line I see is the slope on the hood to a straight, flat front nose.
And that's where I saw it first.
Yeah.
Was the front. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you think you're going to acquire one?
Oh, no.
It is as gorgeous as of a car as it is. It's a turd. Like it's,
is it?
It's pretty awful.
It has bad range or something?
It's $138,000, I think. $147,000.
Holy mackerel.
A bunch of the first ones that came out came with leaking fuel tanks. They have a backup 3-cylinder turbo engine, I believe.
Which doesn't make me feel any better about right. the mechanical aspects, but
it's a range extender.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a fail-safe in case you know you don't know how to read your electric gauge and you run out of electricity. Then you have a 1.5-liter 3-cylinder to get you to a gas station, and that's about it.
Or you're in the middle of nowhere, Virginia, or something, and there's nowhere to stop.
Right.
Right. It doesn't last. I mean, its depreciation is pretty awful. It's not very fast. Doesn't handle particularly well.
So buy it used, gut it out, have some fun.
It's not that easy to get in and out of either.
No, yeah. It's not. There was not a lot of room.
Yeah.
The interior was more simplified.
Yeah.
You know, not too much craziness going on, but there was not a lot of room.
Hopefully BMW will turn around and the next generation do something a little better.
I hope BMW, I mean, returns to the 2000 to 2004 era where they had everything right.
Oh.
That was their golden window. I mean, late 80s into 2000s, I can only say late 90s. I can only say so much because I was only so much of a gearhead, but it was also a vehicle reserved for the quote-unquote elite. If you were driving a BMW or a Mercedes back in those days, like then you had the money to support owning the vehicle, as opposed to you know the new gen rich money or new money folk that put everything on credit,
right?
Just to own it and then
they buy the car and then they can't do oil changes.
Exactly,
right.
And that's where we spoke about this before, but the concept of disposable cars came in. In the mid to late 2000s because of such a demographic. But if BMW can just get their stuff together and go back to just making quality cars with predictable maintenance schedules, they have the bones. You know, they have fantastic braking systems that are second to none. They have fantastic suspension systems that are typically second to none. They know how to design a cockpit to really cater to the driver and enhance the driving experience while still having comfortable seating for passengers. But they've deviated from that substantially. And there was a point where they did make mention that they are not catering to the American market anymore. They're leaning towards the Chinese market because that's where the dollars are coming in now.
It's a billion consumers over there. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And as their economy expands and grows, and as long as they don't become regulated, there's going to be a whole lot of rich people making money off the backs of some really poor people.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The more things change, the more things stay the same.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Well, all that aside, though, it wasn't the mechanical aspects or anything that pulled me in. It was
the shape of the car.
And I've talked about lines and angles before, and I know some people don't totally get what I mean, but I look at cars, I see lines and angles. And it was something about it. I'm not big on the sharp angles, and the back end especially had some interestingly sharp angles, but it was just, something about the body. I don't know. It was very intriguing.
Well, the last thing I think we should talk about today, because we do have a few minutes left, and this may be a very short, easy way to wrap up this episode, is something I had put on my topics list. And we've talked about tires on and off over this day of recording. I generally always follow the factory recommendation for tires on my car, right? But if I upgrade the tire, and if I go up by 1 inch or 2 inch, or if I do custom rims or something, and the tire size is no longer the factory tire, how does the air pressure requirement in the tire change? Do I still follow factory guidelines even though it's no longer a stock tire?
You would use the tire guidelines. Your tire shows your max pressure on there. Right. Most of them aren't going to be that radically different unless you're taking something with passenger tires and jacking it up and putting big old... there'll be some consistency.
So let's say for a second that I have a stock tire on my Mazda, and it's the tire itself, if you read the sidewall, it says maximum pressure 45 PSI. Mm-hmm. But the factory sticker on the inside of the frame mm-hmm. says 32 PSI, right? And that has been the case for every single car I've ever owned. The number on the pillar is not the same as the number on the sidewall.
Well, the sidewall is going to be your max
right.
PSI, so don't go above this, you're going to explode.
Right.
Typically, I used to run about 35, but on something like the Mustang, that would actually leave it just slightly lower than fully inflated, and that was to increase my gripping on the road.
I think, too, that the car manufacturers probably go a little on the softer side because they don't want to get a reputation for their car having a hard ride.
I see.
Yeah.
So I could be... So I should pay attention to the sidewall more so than the sticker recommendation on the frame.
Probably. And then within that, work with it a little bit. See what you like the most.
See what makes the car feel better. Yeah. See what's getting you the best gas mileage. And it's a lot of things that go into it.
So I didn't know if there was an actual guideline that if you got aftermarket wheels, you should adjust that factory recommendation by a certain number one way or the other.
It's always dependent on the vehicle and what you want the vehicle to do.
Yeah.
Don't go over the max.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, even then, that sometimes you're putting risk at hand by going over the max. You can blow the tire out and you'd be in trouble. But that being said, I run my tires over the max on one of my vehicles because the load requires it. It's a cargo van, so.
But you've gotten to know that car and you know that it can do it and you know what it needs to do. So.
Right. Yeah. And cargo tires tend to require higher pressures anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just cheap, so I got tires that didn't fit the rating, but I still inflated it to the pressure. Anyway, beside the point. Ultimately, if you want better gas mileage, rule of thumb, go with higher pressures. You reduce your contact patch.
Yeah.
But since you have a reduced contact patch, that means less resistance for your car to fight against. It means better gas mileage. If you want better grip, you want to make it so that your tires are
softer.
So usually 32 is as low as I recommend on that. You should also bear in mind that will cause your tires to wear out.
Yes.
A little bit faster. Rather than if you had your tire pressures higher, if you have your tire pressures higher, you will wear out the center. If they are lower, you will wear out your edges.
But if you're taking corners at 60 miles an hour, it's kind of a moot point anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. If you're doing such high performance driving anyway, then you probably shouldn't be on the interstates. But
right.
Ben, you were about to say?
Oh, well, like the aftermarket factor probably isn't as big a deal as meets the eye, because whether it's a wheel or a tire, the approximate size of it is going to be...
Fitting your wheel well.
Yeah, fitting your wheel well, or be intended for something in that general size and weight class anyway. You're not going to put the same wheel and tire combos on your Mazda that you'd put on an F-150.
True.
Right, like my cars, I'm learning about new or a different kind of tire.
Right.
It depends entirely on the
car. A few PSI is really going to be your variability, I think.
Right. You know. So there's no real catastrophic thing that'll happen if I...
I don't think so, no. Now, if you did want to put those F-150 wheels on your Mazda, there's a way to make it happen.
There's probably a lift kit.
We'll discuss that. Yes, good. Yeah.
But also to keep in mind, like we mentioned earlier, with the changing of the seasons and hot and cold weather, too, that's going to kind of adjust things as well.
Oh, yeah.
What we should do is take the Mazda, jack it up, and turn it into a four-wheel drive vehicle.
That'd be so much fun.
That would be fun. That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
We'll discuss that next time. This is The Thing About Cars, recording, as always, in Strongbox West in Atlanta. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for visiting our webpage and our Facebook page to send us your suggestions and questions. If you'll find us on Patreon, you can help us raise a little bit of money to get better equipment. We would love to sound better for you guys, and new microphones would go a long way to helping us do that. And in the meantime, I think we'll just say be careful out there, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.